ladies and gentlemen. I feel welcome to the portfolio committee on public works. Thank you for the confidence. I hope I'm not going to disappoint you. Honorable members and guests, I think this meeting is scheduled to what time? To 2 o'clock. So we're going to carry on till we're going to carry on till 2 o'clock. But be that as it may, we will have on today's agenda is the briefing by the researcher, our clever intelligence in the US, Stephanie. Will take us through. I know I was part of a program with a vibrant woman tackling the world economy, and I must tell you that one of these days, Honorable Polite, before you leave, one of these days we will have to make a sticker. Not save the rhino, but save the men. But it's glad to see that our women folk are really taking their place in the world and on the stages of the world, getting forward, moving forward. And it's very, 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 very glad. And you know, it's very heart welcoming and warming to see younger women coming through the ranks, as well as the older women taking their place right in the world. Because today, in today's world, you know, as the ruling party that I present, we believe in the 50-50 dispensation that we've put there. So I would love to call a professor, but he said there is not earned that title yet. Before I hand over to Ines, I see we've got some faces that we haven't seen, so we would just take a round of introduction quickly so that we don't wonder who's that or what. Who said that, or we've heard from informed resource or source or class, so that we can put the name to the face. Because I see quite a lot of beautiful faces here in the room today. So I would love to put that face, a name to that face. Let me start on my left.
My name is Dudu Matebe. I'm a member of this committee from the ANC. Thank you.
My name is Patricia Adams, and I represent the ANC in this committee.
My name is Manuku Masihela, a member of the committee representing the ANC from Limpopo province. Thank you.
Good morning, Alan Small, from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisors. I'm standing in for colleagues who certified this bill, but I please myself, so hopefully I can assist the bill, committee. Thank you. With me is just my assistant, Lorraine, also from my office. Thank you.
I'm representing the policy branch as a director in construction policy.
Monitor, my name is Mascolis Dev. I am the committee officer for the committee. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Kavuro Karisi. I'm from PMG. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Alistair Shaw. I'm a researcher with the DA. Thank you.
Morning, Chair. My name is Michael Van Zemeijer, a member in the committee representing the AIC. Thank you.
Morning, Chair. My name is Humphrey Memezi, the member of parliament from the AIC. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Shoaib Dinesen, content advisor to this committee.
My name is Akona Fusakwe. I am the committee secretary. Thank you.
You see, there was one lady that did not introduce herself before. She will have about 3 hours to introduce herself. She's our special lady today. Over to you, ma'am.
Good morning, chairperson members, and our guests and colleagues. My name is Denise Stephanie. I'm the researcher for the Portfolio Committee on Public Works, and I will just be presenting a brief overview of some of the issues that the committee might consider in their own public hearings. The outline of the bill is basically just to place Agrima South Africa in the context of the entities that it also works with. There'll be a brief bit of information on its establishment, its current mandate, some of the challenges that the Agrima South Africa has actually indicated, which will assist also, I think, when members look at the bill, and then basically just some information on Agrima South Africa, where I just highlighted a few areas for consideration. In terms of the legal aspects, advocate Alan Small, the senior state law advisor, will, once I present on slide 6, present some clarity on the tagging section and the need for a board and any other issues that he feels the would assist the committee during their deliberations. On the next slide, I've basically indicated Agrima South Africa's role in relation to the other three entities that report to Public Works, namely the Council for the Built Environment, the Construction Industry Development Board, and the Independent Development Trust. The Council for the Built Environment basically looks at the transformation of the built environment, and one of the issues that it's concerned with is to provide access to females and historically disadvantaged individuals, particularly to the engineering and the quantity surveyor professions. I will also elaborate on that issue when I look at slide 5. But then we look at the Construction Industry Development Board. Basically, it's the one that ensures that it regulates the construction industry. The reason I've actually put the Construction Industry Development Board as highlighting its link to Agrima South Africa is because one of the things that Agrima South Africa's products are, they're basically looking at alternative construction methods. And one of the things then that the Construction Industry Development Board needs to consider is to include this aspect as part of its regulation process, and also later on in terms of the procurement issue, which I will also highlight. The Independent Development Trust is one of the entities that actually provides social infrastructure, particularly in rural areas. Now, the Department of Public Works has actually been forms part of the PICC, which is the Presidential Infrastructure Committee, and it looks one of the things is the responsibility in terms of the national school building program. This is to prioritize education, but also to address the backlog of mud schools and unsafe structures, particularly for the Department of Basic Education. One of the things that the Independent Development Trust has done is it's used some of these alternative construction methods in the Eastern Cape, and one of the schools is Willowvale. Now, AGRIMA South Africa was established 46 years ago by the Minister of Public Works and by a ministerial delegation of authority. This means that it is not in line with the Constitution or the Public Finance Management Act. And its current mandate is basically to be an independent technical assessment organization, bringing impartial judgment to the evaluation of innovative construction products and systems, which are technically sound. So some of the products that it already has certified is the JoJo water tanks, which people would recognize, the building system software for design and compliance, aluminium windows and doors, and also the road surfacing products. But during our oversight in November 2014, AGRIMA also presented on the stress in motion technology, which is basically where vehicles can be weighed while they're in motion. So this is just in assessing performance of road use, and it would also basically assist in terms of how the road surfaces deteriorate and when government probably needs to budget and finance it. Later on, I'll just mention that AGRIMA South Africa is also a member of the World Federation of, it's a long acronym, World Federation of Technical Assessment Organizations. And it is a founding member, and there's another two BRICS countries that actually form part of it, which is Brazil and Russia. AGRIMA South Africa is also the only technical assessment organization which is in Africa. I said earlier that I would actually look at slide 5, because these are basically challenges that AGRIMA South Africa has identified. And one of the ones is looking at where local authorities reported a lack of appropriately skilled technical staff. And this is where the CDE comes in, the Council for the Built Environment. Another issue is the lack of knowledge of procurement processes. And I think one of the things that needs to be considered here is, since there is the requirement of a 3-quotation process, but some of the AGRIMA South Africa products might be the only one, so it would be the sole service provider, and maybe consideration should be given to, should something like that be included in the bill, and would we need National Treasury to write a regulation, but I think also possibly Mr. Small will be able to assist in that area, because it's not actually my competence. One of the things that AGRIMA South Africa has also indicated is that there's a lack of knowledge in the procurement process when using these alternative building technologies, especially in the construction industry. So one of the things that they have emphasizes, especially on the foundations, the doors, the windows, and also the specifications by clients to the professional team. And I think that is where an area that also needs to be considered, because this is where variation orders come in, and then the budget increases. One of the things that AGRIMA has also emphasize is that its certification cannot be, you cannot vary or alter it without actually asking for approval in writing. because these certificates, the product is very specific and it has been certified through a very elaborate process of testing, which we also were shown when we were on oversight at their laboratories. And you can see that it's quite intensive, time-consuming, but also very expensive. I'm reaching Section 6, which is the area that Advocate Small might assist us on, because basically the Department of Public Works and the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor has indicated that it be tagged as a Section 75 bill. It indicates that there's no implications for the provinces and there's no need to refer the bill to the National House of Traditional Leaders. Now, in the Constitution, in Chapter 12 of the Constitution, on page 1-23, it elaborates on the role of the National House of Traditional Leaders. And then when you're looking at the ordinary bills, which is the ordinary bills which do not affect provinces, and they, even though they still pass through the National Council of Provinces, but it does not require the agreement from the 9 provinces, and that's basically page 45-46 in the Constitution for anybody who wishes to elaborate on these issues. Basically, the next the establishment of Agrima South Africa as a juristic person, which, as I said earlier, is a requirement of the Constitution and the Public Finance Management Act. And what I've basically considered is just to indicate that the bill itself is very short, but it actually has quite a few technical aspects to it. And one of the things that the bill needs to elaborate, that will need to be elaborated on, is in terms of the provision for transitional arrangements, because the time frames, the organizational transformation, are there going to be changes in the conditions of service? Now, Agrima South Africa, of course, certifies these alternative construction technologies. But one of the things that has been emphasized in the bill itself is Section 6.5, which indicates that it is an offense for a person to falsely represent that a construction-related product or system is certified by Agrima South Africa if an Agrima certificate has not been issued for such a product. Now, I did indicate a few questions there in terms of how Agrima South Africa identifies fraudulently represented certificates and what manner of investigation will be required to establish that there is false representation. Who will carry out such an investigation, and will there be any cost implications, additional personnel required? Also, how will these people be held accountable? You can't have the certificate suspended or withdrawn if it was never issued. And what are the legal implications of this? Another area which should be considered is Section 8.1, where Agrima South Africa is required to actually keep a register and maintain it. Currently, Agrima South Africa does make available a list on its website of all the inactive certificates, which include ceilings, insulation, plumbing, roofing products, etc. Now, considering that these certificates are available online, maybe another solution also needs to be found, because just in case people are not able to actually just access it online. Now, looking at the Chief Executive Officer and the staff, the board must appoint a suitably qualified, experienced, and competent person as CEO, and the CEO holds office for a period of not exceeding 5 years and may be reappointed upon the expiry of his or her term. What is needs to be considered is that the board and the chairperson is responsible for the financial accountability, the risk management, the compliance and good governance and professional and ethical conduct, both within the entity and all its interactions with its stakeholders. One of the things that also needs to be considered, and again, as all might consider of assistance here, is just to elaborate on the need for a board and what it would mean if the entity does not have a board. The staff of ACMA is appointed by the CEO. Now, some of the risks that ACMA has also identified prior to in its presentations to the committee is that it has a loss of key staff. It also has an inability to recruit professionals due to the current market demands. There's insufficient transformation at technical assessment leadership level, and that in 2013-14 it reported that it had its own in-house full-time technical staff that developed this because it was trying to not depend so much on consultants. In terms of ACMA's funding, it receives an allocation from the Department of Public Works, which is transferred from Goods and Services, and this has resulted in the department being classified as irregular expenditures by the Auditor General. The allocation that ACMA South Africa received in 2012-13 was 8.7 million, and in 2013-14, 9.1 million. So, as you see, it's a very small entity that actually receives quite a small allocation. But in the next slide, I will just highlight a few issues in terms of what that might mean if certain areas of its functions changes. In terms of the finances, Section 24 of the bill indicates that its financial year will run from 1 April to 31st March, and that the first financial year is from the date of the commencement of the Act to the 31st of March. Now, what I just mentioned in the previous slide is this. Will ACMA South Africa's finances still be ring-fenced and managed under the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research? Because currently it has a shared services model, and this means that it's the accounting, the projects, the money for the projects are actually accounted for under the CSIRs. And that is one of the reasons why it actually reports to two ministers currently, the Minister of Public Works and the Minister of Science and Technology. So one of the things that this bill also needs to resolve is this issue of dual reporting. And then in conclusion, I'm basically just indicating that the previous portfolio committee suggested quite a number of issues, but I will just highlight these ones. To increase the visibility of ACMA South Africa so that its certificates can be more widely used. Because some of the certificates, especially in thermal, you know, the regulation of heat and cold in housing, for example, is quite crucial, especially if we have our current energy constraints. And then the other one was a suggestion that AGRIMA South Africa broadens and its mandate by including an enforcement aspect. And this came from members' oversight, especially in rural areas where they found that people were actually being sold inferior construction products, such as roofing sheets. But if this aspect is included into the goal, what is the cost implication of broadening its mandate? How will this enforcement be implemented? And will AGRIMA South Africa require satellite branches in all the provinces? If so, how soon and what are the projected costs? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stephanie. Before I give the Honourable Members a chance, Advocate Small and Advocate Presidium, anything that you would like to add?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, once again, my apology, just to state that I wasn't part of the certification, but I've gone through this bill. And I'll highlight them basically. I'm sure the department will also be able to assist as they were the initiators on drawing up this bill. Chair, again, I'm sure what you said earlier, we are definitely endangered species because Elias did a good job in covering most of the aspects and covering what I would have said also. But nevertheless, Chair, with regard to the tagging, again, we expand quite a bit in the memo of the bill these days from our office, just to explain because, of course, the memo stays attached partly to the bill. And so we do explain in there that this bill doesn't affect any of the schedules in section Schedule 4 and 5 of the Constitution of the list of sections which will have concurrent jurisdiction within Section 76 bills. And this is an ordinary bill, not affecting provinces. And this is also strengthened by the two cases we mentioned in the memo, and that's the Tukwane case and the Likaville case, where the courts basically set out the weight on how you determine whether it's a Section 76 bill or Section 75 bill. And also, just to add, Chair, that Parliament also has a unit that oversees the tagging of bills, and that's JTM, and they have gone through their muster and also through the parliamentary law advisors. So I certainly can say that I'm sure that all heads were put together in determining which section of the Constitution or it must be tagged. Chair, if you have any further questions that I could answer, hopefully, or the department could assist with that. I'll just turn to the board, and if I missed anything, I could possibly assist with that. There's two parts. The board is established as a juristic person. Agrimen South Africa is established as a juristic person. So in a sense it puts it down to that it has a element of independence, and can sue or be sued as a juristic person. Also, in the past, there were more delegation from the minister and the department, but now most of those responsibilities or accountabilities will be set to the board, and the CEO will run the day-to-day business. But at the same time, the board is still accountable to the ministry. The board still has to report regularly to the ministry. It is also the bill at the moment is quite clear on certain parameters comes to mind in the poll itself is that the board could possibly deal with immovable property but not immovable property, which the minister has to sanction. And other things also, it is now it will be placed as a public entity and the appropriate signing from Parliament, so it will be regularly having to report to Parliament itself. But by establishing a board, it gives the entity a better stance of independence and accountability to the public itself. Chair, with regarding to the double reporting to ministries, this bill actually removes that, and it will now report directly to the Minister of Public Works. So, yeah, sure, there's lots of other things that still needs to be wrapped up, but there is a manner through Gazette to deal with those issues of delegation of certain aspects or policy. I'm not sure, Chair, that I think I've covered those. I'm not sure if there's more, but the department could add if they think there's some things that I left out. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Lucas Moore. Mr. Pillay, Madam, sorry, Wachuku. Okay. Madam Wachuku, Mr. Pillay, is there anything you want to add?
Chair, thank you, but I think that's sufficiently covered. Unless there's any specific issue that you want us to zoom into, then we'll be able to address those specific areas that we need.
Honourable members, it is now your turn. Let me see. Honourable Adams.
No, Chair, thank you for the opportunity. But the researcher has posed a lot of questions, especially on the financial viability and things like that. I would like the department to respond to these questions that the researcher said there. For example, on section, let me see. Okay. On section 6, the certification, where she asked, the legal implications, section 6, a person who commits an offence, there the establishment of, I think it's the board, what is this? On section 6, Jefferson, on page 5 of the bill, where it reads as follows, if it is an offence for a person to falsely represent that a construction-related product or system is certified by Agrima South Africa. Now, there's she posed a lot of questions on who will do the investigation, how will it be done, who will be accountable, and all these things. And I'd like the legal person to elaborate more on the term of juristic person. If he said a lot here, but if he could elaborate more, because we have to debate sometime on this bill. The other thing is the time. We are now on the 10th of March, and the budget starts on the 1st of April. So, will there be time enough, Jefferson, for us to debate this, to have this bill gazetted and signed before the next budget year starts, or what? Thank you.
Thank
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just concerned on page 6 that the Chief State Law Advisor suggests that the bill is targeted at Section 25. I'm confused as to whether this bill is Schedule 4 or 5. And that does not even affect the provinces and NCOP. Is that possible? Because I thought maybe this is the highest authority where we make rules and regulations. If that is the case, that it doesn't affect provinces, I need clarity on that. The second one is question of this Independent Development Trust, which really, to me, it seems as if that sometimes it's not existing. From Limpopo point of view, we still have a lot of children, those who don't have schools. They're still schooling under the trees. They still must school. I don't know whether it's that exposure or is that a lack of resources. So we need further explanation on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And let me welcome the presentation by our session. I just have a few questions. The one relates to the information, I don't remember on which page was it, where it talks about the entity losing many of the keys. What could be the problem there? It is silent. It doesn't say exactly what is happening. Also, the issue of insufficient transformation, which could also maybe be one of the things that are making the entity to lose key staff members. I'm not very sure. Can we have more clarity on the two? And I think as we did visit some of these projects that are done by this entity, and we have seen even the products that they are producing, some of them are really very good. I think it will be proper if they are, you know, the satellites are being disseminated to other provinces so that it's easy for the provinces to use whatever they think it will be easier for them to use. Thank you.
Lucas? Sorry, Honorable Safta.
No, thanks. Most of the questions have been asked, and especially from by the researchers. But I just wanted to make a follow-up on the question I have, which also has been asked about the bill not being referred to the National House of Traditional Leaders. My concern is that when taking the recommendations by the previous portfolio committee, I really don't know how is that possible. I also need a clarity on that. How is it possible that there is no need for the bill to be taken to the National House of Traditional Leaders, whilst one takes the recommendations brought forward by the previous portfolio committee, especially the visibility in the rural areas. Thanks.
Stephanie, you want to go ahead and meet the factors, or should we hand over to the state law advisor, the department? Advocate Small and the department. I see Advocate Small is delegating.
Yeah,
he's a senior counsel, so you must respect him in that regard, Mr. Pillay. He's delegating, so
I'll try to respond to as many as I can, and know that I can try to get you the response to someone. I'm just trying to figure out some of the questions that were asked regarding the issues of funding, but let me just contextualize it in a particular way. Prior to the development of the Malay, comprehensive business case was developed. jointly with AgriMark South Africa, when we look at the envisaged role of AgriMark South Africa, which is not captured in terms of its powers, objectives, and its functions. Embedded in the chairperson is the issue of, and I think the question came up about who's going to ensure that the certificates are valid. That function is played by AgriMark. We envisage that there will be a over a period of time, not immediately, over a period of time, as people, as the economy gets used to the idea of new innovation, there may be an increase in demand for AgriMark certification. But at the time when we were doing the business case, the demand for AgriMark certification was within the period of 20 to 35. So we did not envisage at that point in time an extension of a significant expansion in the AgriMark certification process. Now let me just quickly take you back to the issue of certification. What AgriMark does is it tests a product to the point where if the developer says the product will do X, Y, and Z, AgriMark only tests for X, Y, and Z. It doesn't test whether it can do anything over and above that. So that certificate is only issued for X, Y, and Z. But and in that certification, they assess the manufacturing process as well as the product that must go into the final product. If there's a change anywhere on the line, in the manufacturing process or in the product itself, then there's a change in the certification. So at that point in time, it is the developer of the product must bring it to AgriMark's attention that either the product is being improved upon or there is a change in the process, so AgriMark can go and reissue a certificate. Let me give you a good example. There are thousands of people out there that are manufacturing bricks. Now you can get bricks all the way from 4 to 5 MPa, which is not strong at all the way to 25 MPa, which is extremely hard bricks. On general, you will find you use 7 to 10 MPa bricks for construction. Now, one of the things we were thinking about when we were drafting the bill is, do we regulate every single aspect of construction? Now, someone might want to help us and build a kennel for his dog, for their dog. They do not need to use 25 MPa bricks. They may want to use 4 MPa bricks. So in this regulation process, we are envisaging that we will regulate certain elements of it. For example, if you are building a house, you've got to use X MPa bricks and above. Now that process of ensuring that happens is often, it's through the municipalities. Now the National Building Regulation speaks to the issues of either a SABS approved product or a AgriMark certified product. And that's part of the gap that we discussed with AgriMark, because some of the municipalities do not have competent persons to test to ensure that the product is SABS approved or AgriMark certified. And that's a separate matter that's outside of this bill and outside of DPW's mandate. But it is something that we've asked AgriMark to begin to engage with local government on SALGA, et cetera. And I believe they are doing that. Now, just to come back, the minute someone says that the certificate is no longer valid, and this normally happens through the peer review in the industry. Understand, if I'm a big manufacturer and someone else is a big manufacturer and that person claims to be 10 MPa, and I find out it's not 10 MPa, they will lodge a complaint with AgriMark. That's how the economy generally works. So the so-called, if I can put it, the raising of the flag is envisaged largely by the consumer or manufacturers within the industry. The moment that happens, a flag is raised, AgriMark would need to go out and test to ensure that the product is being complied with. If it finds it's not, then it withdraws the certification. The moment it withdraws the certification, it needs to inform the public of same, so we can ensure compliance. Now, in the bill, we speak to that if you commit an offense, then you will be subjected to a fine or a term in jail of not more than 3 years. If you give me a second, I'll quickly try to find a section for you. I think it's section 6.6, if I'm not mistaken. It's under section 6.6 where we speak to a person who commits an offense in terms of subsection 5 is liable on conviction to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 3 years. So that is the sanction we impose if you do not comply with or if you violate any of these areas under the fine. Chief State Lord Alan, will you deal with juristic person? It's basically a peer for me matter. Time period. allocated for the budget. Chairperson, we have already budgeted for AgriMark. We budget over a three-year period. So AgriMark's budget has already been allocated for the next 3 years. If there is a significant increase in the manager or a significant demand for the particular services, obviously that information will filter through to the department as well when it's done for our adjustment period. So that is taken care of to a large extent.
So the whole agreement budget now, including moving fees, will be being taken from public work and not science and technology anymore. No share budget.
Okay, let me just explain that. In terms of the PFMA requirement, you can only transfer money to a public entity, a juristic person. AgriMark is not a juristic person, it's just a board. And that's the difficulty with that, because we've been transferring money to a juristic person, which is CSIR. And CSIR reports to the Minister of Science and Technology. So hence, AgriMark finds itself in an uncomfortable position of reporting to the Minister of Science and Technology on financial issues and stuff, and DPW in terms of its mandate. What this bill does is really arise there. You will only report to the Department of Public Works. And once the bill is passed, we will no longer be transferring money to goods and services, but rather through a transfer to an entity. So that matter is then regularized. Let me also speak to the issue about the sudden increase in cost because AgriMark would need to have its own administration, etc. Chairperson, under the figures are slightly off because I haven't used the latest figures, but at the time when we were doing the business case, we learned that AgriMark was paying CSIR an amount of around just over 2 million rand per annum for all of its administrative purposes. So effectively, it will no longer need to pay them. That money now resides back with AgriMark. So AgriMark, at that time, agreed that this was sufficient money for it to maintain itself in terms of its own administration, paying its office rent, etc., etc. We don't envisage that AgriMark will move out of its current location, which is the CSIR, because of the very close relationship they have, the sharing of resources, etc. So we don't envisage any increase in terms of an administrative cost. It's only the cost that in future, if there's a sudden spike in the demand for its services or the need for it to do extensive monitoring, etc., there might be an increase there, and that's when we'll adhere to the adjustment period. With regards to the satellite office, currently the demand for AgriMark services is low. It's very low. It's only about maximum 35 certificates in a particular year. But if the demand increases significantly, then there may need to be to create satellite offices. That becomes an operational matter that we will then deal with internally at DPW and AgriMark and obviously in cities budgets we can accommodate that. Obviously that will have to be linked to concurrence with national treasury, etc. But that is possibly an option, but that's not envisaged in the near future. I think I need to say that over the period of time, AgriMark used to outsource a lot of its functions. And more recently, it began to develop its own internal capacity, developing its own laboratories, developing its own personnel to do the testing itself. So a lot of capacity has been built in-house. So you cannot establish laboratories all over the country. It's a very, very expensive process and very expensive to buy such equipment. So we envisage centralizing all testing in a single laboratory. So we don't envisage a huge expansion in terms of satellite offices. Chairperson, the two areas we would need to come back to, unless some of you may know, about the issues of entity losing key staff and the issue of insufficient transformation. I thought AgriMark was very well transformed from the last days I have seen, but I would need to get clarity on that from AgriMark, and we will certainly come back to you in response to Sharma's office on those two areas.
Anything you want to add?
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the opportunity. I'll speak from a risk management perspective. The loss of key staff has been one of the key risk drivers identified by AgriMa. And I do believe that once clarity has been sought in terms of the direction of the board as an entity, would actually assist in terms of managing such risks, because they are linked in terms of the current mandate and the establishment of the entity. Thank you very much.
think the one issue that AGRMA itself identified is the, they indicated it's the insufficient transformation and technical assessment leadership level. And they've indicated that they've made a lot of, they've attempted to make libraries available, etc. But it is a very specialized area, and sometimes they don't manage to actually get people who are interested in that area to actually go into it or even to complete it. But as the department says, they will actually elaborate on it. Thank you.
Just an interesting point, what you're raising there, because on our oversight visit, we have trust issues. And, you know, it's quite a complex field, because, I mean, the research has to be done all the time. And I think it was part of the renewable build materials to be used, which we have seen at CSIR and at AGRMA. So what would you envisage in terms of time frames, time span, in terms of making such persons available, luring such students at FECs, at schools, at higher education training centers, or at universities to come further their careers or to take a career into this research environment of AGRMA. Honorable members, any more questions from your side? Honorable Masir.
I just wanted to make a follow-up on the issue of, as you have already touched it, to say maybe we have not yet done enough marketing on going out and making sure that people are aware of this type of gatherings that we're having. And if we can do that, I'm sure we'll be able to get more people. And then when you're talking of the satellites also, we don't actually mean the laboratories themselves being, you know, disseminated to all provinces. It can be one, but from there we make sure that the products themselves are available in other provinces. And if they are there, there should also be some, you know, aggressive marketing so that people are aware of them. And I'm sure they cannot be used minimal as it is happening now. They can be used more by people because we have realized that they are really good, some of them, and they also cut on costs. That was what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Chairperson, mine is also on the technical stuff. You know, nothing can replace experience. And whilst it is good to hear that there are bursaries available for students in this is a very specialized field. Very, very specialized. So sometime or the other, this entity will have to bring in some form of consultants. Why don't they look at the current market demands for salaries and have one or two or three specialized persons that work for AGRMA South Africa, and also transfer his or his skills to the so-called, in-house staff. That's the one thing. Then, a chairperson, in the law, subsection 8, there's a keeping of the register. Is there a register now? And how reliable is it, Jefferson? And then my last question, Jefferson. The last portfolio committee suggested that AGRMA South Africa should increase
it's vulnerability. You know, it's a small entity in CSIR, not known to Jan Alleman in South Africa. And it has a role to play. What is it going to do about vulnerability to the people in South Africa? Then the other thing that I wanted to ask Jefferson, if a person doesn't have access to IT, what is public work going to do to promote its entity? Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. I don't remember my question has been addressed. Because really, I still need clarity on this Agreement South Africa Bill, page 6.
Division also has a check and balance, and I think we were all
in agreement, we are saying that this is Section 75 and it's a national responsibility of the minister of this division. Chair, I hope that answers that. On the left, the honourable member has asked the question about the traditional leaders. Of course, Chair, we'll see this in every bill in the memo, and I think it's only rightfully put there that we don't segregate or isolate any part of our public community or citizens within our country. And for that reason, in the past, you know, traditional leaders or communities weren't recognized. And so now it is stated in every memo that we have that we do that checks and balance. And the checks, Chair, is Section 18.1A of the Traditional Leadership Governance Framework Act. And that will set out when we need to really then turn to that act and then refer if it has direct impact on, and again, I stated earlier about the framework and of certain aspects, and I don't think it has direct impact on traditional leaders and their communities, Chair. And that is guided by Section 18, like I said, 18.1A of that Act itself. But it's rightfully put in the memo, so that keeps us alert, keeps us vigilant on what's in front of us, Chair. I think the department will cover the register, I think, and the IT and the visibility, Chair. Hopefully I covered my parts. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Pillay, you know, I'm still convinced, honorable members, why we put this bill is to make Agrima South Africa's logistic person. So they must take charge of their own. That's why we put the bill, because at the moment, you know, if you report to two bosses, you'll be in trouble. Because the one wants that and the other one wants that, and then you've got the Auditor General coming down on you to say, hey, you have not, that's why we're satisfied with that, but I've picked up some discrepancies here along the line with public works. And then there's the claim against public works, which was not supposed to be for staff. So also with the time frames which Honourable Adams has asked, I think that time frame depends on the committee. If I'm right, Mr. and Madam Stephanie. And Madam McCullough, that depends on the committee, the time frame. How soon can we get the bill through? If there's delays, do we want to delay the bill? Do we want to put the bill through? Do we want to not fast track, but let it run its course? Because, look, it must still go to the NCOP, but it's a 75 bill, so the NCOP does not have to consult the provinces. Straight bill. Doesn't have to go to the provinces for briefing. Did I get the clarity? I think you answered the question of the National House of Traditional Leaders. Honorable Dr. Are you satisfied with that answer?
Yes.
My force? Are you satisfied? Okay. The House of Traditional Leaders plays a vital role. The President has last week said it's made it clear. It plays quite a vital role. Because if we want to further our programs, we have to respect that house as well. But, Mr. Pillay, do you still need to answer something?
Chair, I think this is two questions. One was on the register, whether Agrimark has a register. It does. It may be called a list for now, but for legal purposes, we call it a register going forward, so they need to indicate certificates issued, certificates withdrawn, certificates suspended, etc. The second issue is Agrimark's visibility. Yes, we agree. We've included that in the Act that they need to play a more active role. But we just need to distinguish the role of Agrimark in terms of a certifier of products and what it does versus marketing products. Because it does not market the product. It just tests products for manufacturers. The actual products that are available to the market may be displayed with Agrimark certification, but it cannot
take a position on advancing a particular product. So the onus upon marketing the product thereafter becomes the role of the producer of the market, of the product, to compete for market space. Jamaluddin, that other answers that question.
I think the members has probably thought that because Agama do basically the same work as ACBS type of thing, you know. So members have thought that ACBS has got a regional office, whereas an Agama also goes for regional office. But the output that ACBS has and the output that Agama does, 36 certificates per year. I mean, to what's looking at 136 per day from ACBS. It's just two worlds apart, and why spend unnecessary money on accommodation, on unnecessary staff as well, where you can rather use that money. And I know Ms. Ines will agree with me, and rather make that money available for bursaries, as well as Ms. Adams will agree with me. We should rather push agreement to make money available for bursaries, so that we can, instead of importing experts, we should then create our own experts from within South Africa. And that is part of the what we should push Agrima to do, part of the further the objectives. Because we've got quite a whole, we've got a new youth coming through the ranks now. Whether it's black, white, pink, whatever, they're coming through the ranks, and they need to fill the gaps. So we need to then gear them up to fill that gaps moving forward. And I think this bill will really assist us. Members, anything more from your side? Sure. My post. Ma'am Adams, Honorable Adams, Honorable Matiela, so, also Honorable Kafka as well. Mr. Shoaib, one. No questions? Sure. Ms. Stephanie, anything from your side?
Just one thing. I think the thing about visibility that the portfolio committee linked was, on the one hand, and I think the department is indicating that the manufacturer should actually make its product visible, but I think the committee meant that the work that Agrima does must become more visible, because it's a small entity, it does amazing work, but people don't know the kind of work that it does. And I think that village that we went to in Soshanguve, which was indicating to people houses deteriorate using these different types of products, because I think what the committee wanted was that these products become more readily available, actually not even that, more in use, apart from just having, which is what we visited in the Eastern Cape, those schools, because one of the things that that product, what was reported is that these alternative construction products allow for these buildings to be built faster and cheaper. And I think a member was talking about these vast amounts of unsafe schools and people still studying under trees. It is that because it's cheaper, you can actually build more. And because it's faster, you can also try and address this large backlog. So that was actually what members meant in the previous committee, is that kind of visibility. So that, and also with the thermal controlled houses, so that people use less electricity and things like that. So it's basically to make it visible in terms of the product that is certified, and also that then these manufacturers, that their products actually become more readily available in the
I concur with you a lot. and I think with the bill that's coming on now to make Agrim a standalone entity, because what happened was previously, before this bill, CSIR took all the credit. You know? Because, I mean, they are, in actual fact, the guys of innovative research and all that. So they took most of the credit. Because Agrima reported to both Science and Technology, and before it even goes to come to public work, Science and Technology have grabbed it and they took all the credit. So we must, rightly as you say, they should then kick this up. The other point that I wanted to find out, I clearly forgot, was the disciplinary board or something. I think it was the disciplinary board. I know the minister appoints a board, and then for the selection board, yeah. A selection committee. Where does the minister take the selection committee from? And that, Mr. Pillay?
Chair, thank you. Just to go back on the issue of Agrimark making itself more visible, we've embedded that in the act itself. We clearly speak about it needing to make itself more visible. But we haven't indicated how, which we allowed as an operational issue that Agrimark will deal with. So we've covered that. In terms of the selection committee chairperson, what the bill just speaks to the process. You see, because minister normally when he wants to appoint a board will identify certain persons to assist in shortlisting, coming up with a few names that he can then do the appointment. So we spoke to the identification of a selection committee. Now, what we will do at some point in time is requested by the minister. Because the minister has the prerogative to put anyone that he wishes on a selection committee. But if he wants to clearly define this process, then we will do that through regulations. You will see there's a number of areas that we would need to regulate in the bill as we move forward. And we thought we would pick that up as we're going forward. But the selection committee for right now is kept broadly so the minister can appoint any person that he wishes on the selection committee. But if need be, we will regulate to define parameters if the minister so requires.
Advocate Smoog, any last point from your side?
No, sir.
Nothing? Okay. Mr. Play and the three musketeers at the back. Do not look further behind you. There's only one musketeer sitting behind you. That's three musketeers. Anything for nothing? Oh,
nothing for me. Thank you very much.
Okay. We are all better.
Nothing on my side, Chair. We'll just wait to see how the committee proceeds with the bill.
Okay. Mr. Pillay?
Thank you very much, sir.
As they say in Cape Town, Afrikaans, you're worked up. It's your parting shot, you're worked up.
Okay. So just that this bill, we've covered every element that we thought possible that needs to be covered to ensure that we have a fully functional entity that would give effect not just to we envision that through this bill we'll establish a whole new industry in construction, which is the innovation, the technology, the R&D behind the construction sector, which doesn't exist at the moment. So when we read the bill, this is because we try to, as far as possible, ensure we have job creation, poverty alleviation, and issues embedded within the operationalization of this bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let me also then allow, take this opportunity and thank the Ms. Stephanie for the work, the wonderful work that you have put in. Long hours, the hard work, shame. We can't even watch the Stormers beat the Sharks and Arsenal beaten Man United. I hope you're not a Man United fan. No? Okay. Don't be shy. We've beaten them at Old Trafford, Advocate Small. You look so down and you're Man United fan. But let me thank you for the one. wonderful work that you have put in. Advocate Small, thank you for, Mr. Sedan, thank you for making yourself available to come and brief the committee. We really appreciate that. The three musketeers, the two from Pretoria, and the one from Cape Town, thank you very much for the time spent and that you have made yourself available to assist us, the committee, and Stephanie in this regard, because now we've got a much clearer picture of why is this vote so much necessary, you know, to take us forward. And Mr. Sibeko, thank you for coming all the way from, what do they call that, the ultra deep, what do they call this thing, ultra deep, no, where is it? And thank you for PMG, is it PMG? PMG and the DA research unit. I hope you don't come with counter research now. But thank you very much for attendance. And members, thank you. Our able secretary, Akona, and our content advisor, thank you. The department, Mr. Small, and Mr. Sazenot can be excused, and the other members, but the members, please, if you would like to take leave of us. We've just got some issues, but members, the honorable members, are you discussing now how you're going to use access to the Limpopo? But honorable members, we need to adopt. I see some of the members have left, Honorable Masango and other members. So can we then just let the minutes stand over till next week, as well as the reports, the oversight reports? Please read it so that we don't come next week to the meeting and you say you haven't read it. That if we can pass, fail, or if there's any issues that you think that needs to be added into the report, please feel free to contact the corner. All the best, guys. Go well. Take it easy on the roads out there. If there's anything, please don't be shy. You know, these able, wonderful, competent, and intelligent people are available to assist us. Ms. Stephanie, Mr. Denison, your son hasn't changed it. So nice. And Mr. Akona, they are there to assist us in any regards. Please feel free to contact them if there's some question that's bothering you or lingering you. Don't wait till you can't get hold of them and then you say, but I didn't know. Don't phone them on a Sunday between 12 and 2. That's the time they're having lunch. Other days they don't eat lunch. They are on the run. Honorable Adams, you have your hand up. Tonight, it's after the house. Members, staff, anything upon us that we need to be made aware of?
Homeless.
Yeah? Are we getting... Is the staff getting bonus? Are you asking the wrong people? Members and staff, thank you. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.